there all year long, right? It's been a whole year we've gone through Matthew, but I think it's been really good. I've enjoyed going through it. I know many of you have as well, and it's great to go into and through the book of Matthew with fresh eyes to really understand context, really understand the connection from the Tanakh to the Brit Hadashah, the New Covenant. And we're nearing and kind of at the end. We have two more weeks to go. This week and next week is the finale, the final week of the book of Matthew. So if you want to turn to Matthew 28, we're going to be starting in verse 11 in just a minute. Last week's text, we talked about, as I put it, the greatest event in human history, which is the resurrection of Yeshua. It wasn't the greatest event because Yeshua was the only one that was ever resurrected, because other people were resurrected, Lazarus and other people we hear about. That was a great event, though, that Yeshua was resurrected, but even more important was that what it represented, that he conquered death, that he died for our sins and was raised to life, and we have newness of life in him. And we talked all about that last week. And we saw how he was crucified, died, third day, raised to life. And in the text today, we read about how that truth, that greatest event in history, that truth, the truth of Yeshua, the truth of his messiahship, the truth of him fulfilling all those prophecies, the truth of his resurrection, it's all there. And it actually is testified to. We're going to see that in the text today. But then also we see a cover-up. Men wanting to cover that up because it doesn't fit in to their plans. It doesn't fit into the world's plans. Some of the leadership specifically didn't want to admit it. So man devises plans to cover that and conceal that truth. But what this passage really teaches us, believers, is that we have a choice. We have a choice to speak truth or not to speak truth. We have a choice to be a testimony to God and Yeshua or not to be a testimony to God and Yeshua. And we really need to be a witness to him, really, with our whole lives. So let's talk through the verses here. Verse 11, we'll start with that verse today. Matthew 28, 11, while they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. Now, the guards, of course, were the Roman guards that were guarding the tomb and that whole contingent of guards. Not all of the guards were guarding the tomb, but it was a group of Roman guards, Roman legion, and they were guarding the tomb. And we know that in last week's portion, we saw two of the Roman guards were there in Jerusalem. They were guarding the tomb. They saw the angel, this brilliant sight of this angel, and the angel rolls back the stone. The angel sits on the stone at the entrance of the tomb that Yeshua was buried in. And this, let's just say this freaked them out, right? I think it did more than freak them out. They basically almost died. They fell back, you know, totally like dead men, the text says. They became like dead men. Now, we would surmise when they finally came to, right, when they finally woke up after all of this, and they ran to tell the officials, and of course, the rest of their guard members, and then some of the guard went to go tell the officials, I think we could safely surmise that the guards went and they told the truth to the officials, what they saw. We saw an angel. We saw this body was gone. I mean, they testified to what they saw. I don't think they would have gone and they would have lied to the officials about it. So they went and they testified that he was gone, that the heavenly angel was there. They told the truth in that moment. Now, truth is defined as, this is a definition, one of the definitions of truth. Truth is defined as a verified or indisputable fact. That's truth. The guards verified that. They verified the body was gone. They verified to the officials that something supernatural had happened just by the existence of the angel himself. And ultimately, they testified to the officials that the truth about Yeshua was absolute. That's the first point today. The truth of Yeshua is absolute. When we talk about truth, it's undeniable, it's verifiable, it's indisputable. But the problem that we have, especially in today's world, when we talk about truth, and you know we have to define truth, because truth is defined all different ways in today's society. Truth is defined all different ways in today's culture. True, instead of being objective, which truth is, based on the definition, truth today in our culture is very subjective. We have this new thing that's the last few years, like, this is my truth, and that's your truth. You can have your truth over there. I'm going to have my truth over here, and maybe my truth will change tomorrow with the way I feel tomorrow. There's not two truths. There's not many truths. There is one truth, and the one truth is God's truth, not what we say is truth. But it goes even further in our society. People call truth lies, and people call lies truth, don't they? Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know, I've read these words for years as I've read through the Bible, and it's never been more clear to me than the day and age we're living in. I think it's because we have this mass media, we have everything coming at us, and we have everybody that has a platform to say what they want. And unfortunately, that's a good thing in some ways, but it's a bad thing in other ways, because then we have all these truths out there, quote unquote. And then we have some people that are convinced that their truth is the truth, but their truth may be lies or half-truths. So we have to really be careful when we talk about truth today, because it's not so inherent to people in the world. Yeshua and his messiahship is truth. Yeshua fulfilled multiple prophecies, and his messiahship is unavoidable for us if we are really be honest with ourselves about this truth. John chapter 14, we're going to go to a couple of verses in the book of John now. Go to John 14, verse 6. Remember, there's only one truth, and that's God's truth. And God's truth as revealed to us ultimately through everything in Yeshua the Messiah. John 14, 6, Yeshua said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is truth. Now, there's so much peace for us in knowing Yeshua, in having a relationship with him. There's freedom in that. Turn with me to John chapter 8, verse 32. When we know the truth, not our truth or not somebody else's truth or what people say is truth, when we know the truth, we have freedom. Freedom to know that I don't have to rely on my thoughts about what truth is. I don't have to rely on what my logic says or my education tells me about truth. John 8, 32. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, many times people are walking around in bondage, many people in the body of Messiah, and they've bound themselves based on half-truths or not believing the truth, you know, believing that they're renewed in Yeshua, believing that they're a new person. We have to believe in the truth and believe that it does set us free, and there's freedom in that. So now let's continue back in Matthew 28. We're going to continue on. Go to verse 12 now. Now, remember, the guards came, the guards went, and they went to the officials, and they told the officials, they verified, they gave truth, what happened. Verse 12, and when they assembled with the elders and taken counsel, this is the leadership, some of the leadership, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So this was the cover-up, right? This was like, okay, we got to do the damage control here. We've got to figure out a way. We've got to figure out a truth to speak, quote-unquote, that people will believe. You know, if you there's a saying, if you speak a lie enough times, it becomes truth, right? I mean, it doesn't become truth, but people believe it to be truth. Well, this is exactly what was happening here. Man can be so clever in trying to suppress truth, whatever that truth might be. Human nature, which is fallen man, right? Sinful man, sinful self we have. Human nature is to protect ourselves, or said another way, to protect our own self-interests. So if it's not in your self-interest to believe a truth that somebody is telling you, you're not going to believe it. Well, that's your truth. Because it's not in my interest to believe that. The truth, unfortunately, many times is inconvenient, but it does not make it a lie. It doesn't make it not a truth, right? So we like to protect our own self-interest many times. That's not a good thing because the Messiah has come. He was a threat to these people in many ways. He was a threat to their power. He was a threat to the established order. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. I'm going to read a few verses here. I think it's three verses throughout Matthew chapter 10, so stay there. But we're going to begin in verse 34 of Matthew 10. These are Yeshua's words. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, we read that verse, and we get a little confused sometimes, right? Because we say, well, Yeshua is supposed to be our peace, the peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand. Why is this like a contradiction? It's not a contradiction, okay? When Yeshua says that he comes to bring peace, he doesn't come to bring peace, he's not talking in the context of internal peace. Yeshua is saying in this verse, verse 34 of Matthew 10, that mankind is stuck in sin. Mankind, we are stuck in a cycle of sin, and Yeshua has come to stir up and to stir that sin out of us, to shake it up. Because, you know, when you get stuck in a rut, when you get stuck in a pit, it's hard to get out of that pit. Yeshua came to get us out of that pit. But at first, when you're getting pulled out of the pit, it doesn't feel good. That's what he's talking about when he says, I came to bring a sword and not peace. He's trying to shake up things. He's trying to shake up this world of sin. Now, in the same passage of Matthew 10, let's go down to verse 38 and 39. Yeshua explains to us further what he's getting at. Verse 38, and whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We have got to give up our claim to ourselves. We have got to give up our claim to our logic. We have got to give up our claim to our truth and take Yeshua's truth, God's truth. We have to lose our lives and give up that claim to ourselves. Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. Go to verse 26. So Yeshua comes to stir things up, and Yeshua is quoted here about man and about not fearing man in his schemes. Matthew 10, 26. So have no fear of them, meaning man, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Now that's a powerful scripture because man is very clever and things can be very scary, especially when there's slander going on or lies being perpetrated about Yeshua or about the body of Messiah or even about you. We should not fear man or what man does. We can't always prevent this from happening. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 22. It's a short little verse, but it's a powerful one. Isaiah 2, 22. Stop regarding man in whose nostrils is breath, for of what account is he? Now, that's easy to say, but when we're hauled before governors and kings like Shaul was in the book of Acts, it can be hard. When you're standing there before a dictator, it can be hard. But God says, don't have any account of man. God gave man the breath in his nostrils. Every man, including kings and dictators and despots. For what account is he? Point number two. Don't worry about the schemes of man. It's easier said than done sometimes, right? People spoke lies about Yeshua. We have to remember this. You know, when people are speaking lies about us, lies about our faith, lies about what we said and what we did, whatever it may be, we have to remember something. We're following someone who lies were spoken of about him. We read it today in the Matthew 28 passage. Yeshua is probably the most misunderstood person ever. I think Shaul was number two, like right below him. But Yeshua, I still think, is the most misunderstood person ever. Why do I think that? Because there's so many versions of Yeshua in the world. There's so many truths about Yeshua that are not true at all. People are painting Yeshua as this. They're painting Yeshua as that. They're painting Yeshua as something else. You know, there's this type of Yeshua and that type of Yeshua. Yeshua is who he says he is. And that's why we're here. We're studying about who he is, what the context is, what he really said, what he really meant, and how we can live our lives better. But everybody speaks for him. Everybody thinks that they know him. And to some extent, we go through this too. Sometimes, you know, we end up being the ones saying wrong things, doing wrong things. And when we do that, we have to take account for that. You know, we reap what we sow. But sometimes in our lives, we can do every single thing right. You ever have that feeling? I did everything right, and still somebody slandered me. And still there was a lie perpetrated. And I talked to them exactly about Yeshua as I thought, you know, I should communicate, and they still didn't take it. They still didn't understand. You know, this can still happen. Based on our best efforts, people can still spread lies or their truth or make assumptions. You and I have to stand firm in our convictions. Also, let me just say this. You know, many times, I've been a believer a pretty long time. Many of you have too. Something we thought was truth maybe 20 years ago, maybe we realize maybe not so true. That's okay. We have to go with what God shows us at the time. And if God, you know, we also have to have, my point here is, we have to have enough humility to be able to say, you know what, I didn't have that quite right. And so I think there's a measure of humility we need to have even as we speak truth, because we don't know it all. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what prophecy really, really, really says. Nobody knows exactly. So as we live our lives speaking truth, let's speak it with a tinge of humility, knowing that God knows everything and not us, right? So let's be true and stand firm in our convictions. What you think is right, go for it. If you read it with the word, come and talk to me. Come and talk to people that are you can respect in your life. Seek the Lord in it. The enemy is going to try to discourage us. The enemy is going to try to put things in to cover up that truth, whatever that truth may be. But we know God is with us. We know God is for us. And God tells us not to fear man, not to fear things, and not to worry. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7 is a short verse, but it's really, really a powerful verse for us. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. We need to exhibit those characteristics, not fear in our lives, not be covered in fear, but the power, not our own power, but God's power, not our own love, but God's love, and not our own ways of controlling things, but God's control. And we need to have that control in our lives too. Now let's go back to the passage today, Matthew 28, 15, last verse in the passage. And this is about the guards now. So the guards, took the money and did as they were directed. And the story has been spread among the Jews to this day. The story about how the body has been taken and the disciples are to blame. And can you imagine if you were one of the disciples and people were hurling these accusations at you? Well, you did this and you did that. Now, it's interesting because we know that not all people believe this. We have to understand context. A lot of times when we read things in Scripture, we think that's absolute, absolute. Everybody did it. Everybody did it. We know in the first century that there were thousands and thousands of Jewish believers in Jerusalem and in Israel. We know that not everybody thought this way. Not everybody believed this thing. We're about to start a book, the book of James. Yaakov was his name, half-brother of Yeshua, leader of the Jerusalem community. Messianic community. Yaakov was so well respected. I don't want to give anything away, but I'm going to talk a little bit about it. It's really interesting when you look at his life. He was so righteous. He was called James the Just or Yaakov the Just. He was so righteous, so well regarded by the non-Jewish believing Jewish community, non-Yeshua believing Jewish community, that when he was killed, and he was killed, he was martyred, the Pharisees were so upset at the Romans that they went all the way to, this is the Pharisees now, they went all the way to Rome and petitioned to remove the leadership who had killed him. And they did it. So this is the respect that James, Yaakov had, being a Jewish believer in Yeshua. So we have to understand context. When we read things like this has been spread among the Jews to this day, not all Jewish people believed it. Some did, some did not. So we have to understand history and context. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5. So the guards took the money, and they chose to spread lies, instead of spreading truth, right? We all have a choice to do this. But Proverbs 14:5 is pretty clear. A faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness breathes out lies. False witness breathes out lies. Turn now to Psalm 119, verse 46. This is the long psalm. Turn to verse 46 of Psalm 19. So as we talked about before, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter if it's convenient or inconvenient. It is still the truth. Psalm 119, verse 46. I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. Now, many of us haven't had the situation, like I said, of Shaul and Acts or people where you're hauled off in front of a governor or an official or a king and forced to say, yes, I do believe in Yeshua. And if you do say that, then you're killed. You know, throughout history, this has happened. This is still happening today in the world. Psalm 119, I will speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. So we have a testimony to speak, a truth to speak. The definition of a testimony is evidence to support a fact, evidence in support of a fact or a statement. Proof. The testimony is proof. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about testimony and having a testimony and what a testimony is. It is the proof. If you've had something happen in your life, if you've gone through some things and you have a journey to talk about, that's your testimony. And that is truth because you lived it. Now, I'm not saying it's your truth and all that. We talked about that before, but you understand that that is without meaning it, this is your truth. This is the truth that has happened to you in your life. It's your testimony. It really happened. 1 John 5:11, this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It is a sure testimony that we have. We're called as followers of Yeshua to testify about him, to testify about who he was on this earth, to testify about how he fulfilled the prophecies of the Messiah, of Mashiach, and how we have new life in him. There's peace, there's shalom that passes all understanding, but we have to be careful how we exercise and show that testimony, just like anything. We have to be careful about how we exercise and do that testimony. I've spoken a lot over the last year about how the best testimony you and I could ever have is the testimony, literally, of not speaking at all and just living our lives. Now, don't get me wrong. There's times when we need to speak. There's also times when we need to not speak because it would do more harm in the moment than good. That's where the Ruach comes in. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in to tell us, say something, don't say something. But the best testimony is the lifestyle, your life, lifestyle evangelism. We can go and preach Yeshua many times, but sometimes it's not going to be a good thing when we do it. Why? Because maybe it's not the right time to speak to that person, but also we have to be careful when we preach our testimony, when we preach the testimony about Yeshua, because if our lives are a mess, you know what I mean when I mean that, if our lives are a mess, both internally and externally, then we're not going to be a good testimony. If we're treating people bad in our lives, if we have unhealthy habits, unhealthy ways of thinking, you know, one of the best things that we can do is to work on ourselves first. I talk about this a lot because if we focus on self-inspection, self-understanding, really trying to fix our lives for the Lord, now nobody's perfect, we're still a work in progress, but if we really try to work on ourselves, then we're going to be a good testimony. Then when we go and speak to people, people aren't going to say, hypocrite, you know? We don't want people to say that. Now, there could be little splinters. I think I have a lot of splinters, so to speak, still in me. But when you're going and speaking to people about their splinters, and you've got this massive log, and everybody can see it, God is going to show you the logs in your life. He's shown me quite a few of them, and we have to continue to take out the logs, continue to work on ourselves. Why? Not so we could say, look at how great I am. No, so that we could be a better testimony about Yeshua, so we can deliver the truth unhindered And there's no impediments to anybody. There's no roadblocks so that people can receive that word. Now, whether they receive it or not is up to them, but we have to do a good job presenting it with our lives, with our lifestyle. Point number three, our testimony is our witness. Your testimony is the best witness that you can have. Last scripture today, 1 Peter chapter 2, the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Let's hear these words here. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. This is what we want. We want to have good character, good ethics, good morals, good conduct. Again, nobody's perfect. We're going to fall down. We're going to mess up. But let's strive to do the best we can for the Lord, because we are God's image bearers. We are the light of the world, but we're testifying to the light that's within us, which is Yeshua. We have to be good image bearers and standard bearers of Yeshua. If we have things clouding that image, things that we can readily deal with, that's going to be a hindrance to our testimony. But are we reflecting the Lord? Are we reflecting the Lord in all we do? Are we reflecting the Lord? You know, we just went through Yom Kippur and the high holidays for the sins we committed. You know, we reflected on our lives. What do I need to do better this year? How can I be closer to God? How can I be transformed more and more into the image of Yeshua? This should be our thought process, and this should be our goal this year. Our thoughts, our speech, our actions, our decisions, let us be more like Yeshua so we can be a better testimony to Him today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. We praise You because we read the words, Lord, and sometimes it's convicting. Sometimes we realize we've got some logs, but Lord, You're merciful. You're gracious. You're slow to anger, but abounding in love. And we thank You for that, God. May we reflect on our lives and our testimony. And Lord, show each of us if there's things in our lives that are not pleasing to You that we need to maybe discard, that we need to maybe give up. Maybe there's ways of thinking. Maybe there's attitudes that we've had. Maybe there's ways we've said things or done things, Lord. Help us all to improve on this. Help us all to be a better testimony, a testimony to the truth, which is You, Your truth, God. We pray that Your truth shines loud and clear in our lives, in our families this year, in our congregation, and in our community, Lord. We thank You for that, and we ask You, Lord God, to draw us closer to You, even as we seek Your face more and more and more. We thank You, God, and we praise You in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen.